You know it's been a while when you got to start bringing glasses just in case. It is great to be with y'all here again. I guess it's been 8 years we figured out since we've been here. I had not seen your revival tent out here, and I thought that might be tonight. But it's great being with y'all, and if you this weather is great, if you like this weather, then I'd encourage you to come to Corpus Christi, Texas, December 5th, 6th, and 7th. We're going to have a Bible conference down there, and this is the weather we get the month of December down there in Corpus Christi, because it's pretty hot otherwise. But do come and join us if that can meet your schedule as you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Brother Mike Schrader and I have studies down there together. We alternate each week, for those of you that may know Brother Mike. And Brother Jan, I really appreciated, you know, Romans 5, 1 through 11. We used to start, I think, we started a new study down there, a new group of people introducing them to rightly dividing. And I think for the first 4 months, we started Romans 5 to 11, 1 through 11. We read that each week just because of the importance of that, because that word now. And we had everybody underline that word. We are now justified. We have now received the atonement. And that being so different than previous dispensations. 1 Timothy chapter 2, you know, why are we here today? Why did some people come from Cleveland, Ohio? I met a couple back here. Drove all the way from Cleveland, Ohio down here. Some people from San Antonio, Texas, all the way over here. I mean, why do we get together like this? And, you know, just a couple of verses we might want to grab here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we go to verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, there's one or two reasons right there why we get together to study. Because God our Savior would have all men, every single person in here, two things. To be saved, and make no mistake, what is listed first there? To be saved, and then the second, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. No, you do not have to come unto the knowledge of the truth to be saved. And do not let that get in the way. So that's one reason, to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Let's try something else. While we're in Timothy, let's go to 2 Timothy. Actually, before going there, I would say I'm just totally drew a blank here. Amazing if you how this goes, Brother Jerry. Everybody go to Colossians 1, right? That's what you. No, and don't do that. That's a joke between us. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, kind of interesting, the last book, you know, last two books that Paul wrote. Ephesians, 2 Timothy, one to a church, one to a teacher, one to a preacher. And if you think about these being the last chapters that Paul wrote, 2 Timothy chapter 4, one of the last chapters written. And if we come to verse 2, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And again, last chapter Paul writes, and these are the things he's instructing each of us. And I would encourage each of you in this room, we all have a ministry. All. Ladies, guys, elder, younger. I think of maybe one of the most important ministries I've witnessed here. I see Stephanie walking out here with those young children. That may be the most important ministry that's going on here this weekend. You know, all you have to do is look what's going on around the world, and where does it start? Youth. That's an important ministry. We all have a ministry. So make no mistake, you have a ministry as well. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, again, the last chapter Paul wrote to a church, the church at Ephesus. Starting in verse 10, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now he goes on to give you the whole armor of God. And of course, many of us have been through plenty of studies there. And I encourage you to read that with your family at least once a week, men. Because we all need to put on the whole armor of God. But watch how he concludes this. And really, it's almost his last thought to a church after 30-some years of ministering. Here's his last thoughts. Verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me." Okay, here we go. Paul's last thought. I want you, church, to pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the gospel. To preach the gospel, right? Don't you dare let any of us preachers leave a word or a phrase out of a verse. Every word is there for a reason. No, the verse says, it might be kind of mysterious why this phrase got left out here. And he says, "And to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Interesting thought there. To make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, while we're in Ephesians, let's go back to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, in verse 7, Paul says, "Whereof I was made a minister according to the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery." There's another reason for us to get together. The fellowship of what? The mystery. The fellowship of the mystery. The third reason we're getting together today. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Wow, that's a mysterious way to state something there. That from the beginning of the world, whatever we're talking about here, whatever the subject is, has been hid in God from the beginning of the world. I see Brother Jan did go ahead and have a... Let's see, where's the clock? Okay. Thank you. Okay, Brother Jan did put a board up here, but if we just use, you know, Genesis here as the beginning of time as we know it, and I'll just use from the creation of Adam, of course, until the birth of Christ, you know, we've got a period of about 4,000 years there. We all talk about the 33 years here, and from the birth of Christ to the crucifixion. Then the book of Acts picking up. You've got about 40 years from the beginning of Christ's ministry until the end of the book of Acts. And those other parentheses, Brother Jan talking about the parentheses, the dispensation of the grace of God, ending with the rapture, what church calls the rapture of the body of Christ, begins a seven-year period of great tribulation, return of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth to set up the thousand-year reign. So the whole looking at the Bible as a timeline, but whatever we're talking about has been hid in God back here. And you go, wow, what's going on here? How could Peter and Paul be preaching the same thing if what we're talking about was hid before Adam was even created? That's pretty mysterious. Well, Paul said again, Ephesians 6, go back there even though we read it. Ephesians 6:19, "And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." So here we have a term, the mystery of the gospel. We read in Ephesians 3:9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Well, you've heard many people talking, many of the men preaching already. And if we were to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, while you're turning there, to 1 Corinthians 2, of course, right behind me here, we have 1 Corinthians 15. "For I delivered unto you," and actually I'm going to, I am going to misread this in purpose, okay? "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Anything mysterious about that? No. Anything that would be a mystery? No. It's prophecy. How many times was the birth of Christ prophesied? How many times was His death prophesied? That He would be buried, that He would be raised again even, prophesied. Nobody got it, did they? How many times did He tell the 12 in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, "Hey, I've got to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed, but don't worry, on the third day I'll be raised, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, so will I." And Peter says, "Not so, Lord." And He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Peter was going to stop it, wasn't he? So, it's no mystery, the death, burial, and resurrection. Yet Paul's saying, you know, "Give me utterance," or "pray for me for a door of utterance so that I may make known the mystery of the gospel." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of Christ." Now you know why it had to be a mystery, why it couldn't be part of prophecy in all of these Old Testament books. Because had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And by all of 1 Corinthians 15, all 50-some verses there, where would we be if He had not died for our sins? We'd still be in our sins, would we not? Our faith would be vain because we'd still be in our sins. We'd be without hope. It had to be a mystery. Now, the gospel of Christ. Very interesting that, you know, Brother Johnny from the New Brunfels Church. Two things I always keep in my Bible. And I see Brother Steve has this one back there. Got to write a timeline here. The other is Brother Johnny from New Brunfels Church. I think he came up here a couple times for this conference. And, you know, a couple things about Brother Johnny. Hey, he always had that smile. Everybody, I don't care how bad your day was, you're going to feel good just because you had 2 minutes to interact with Brother Johnny. That's a good ministry right there. Just helping other people be uplifted a little bit. But he gave these maps out. And I would encourage you to get this map, the Then and Now Bible maps, because one in here is the... They have three maps. One, Paul's first missionary journey, his second missionary journey, his third missionary journey. And the reason I bring that up now, and I keep it all the time, these two pieces of literature, just to use when talking with people. You never know when you're going to have that opportunity, be instant in season, out of season. Amen? So, the first missionary journey, Acts 13 concludes at the end of Acts 14. Paul goes to 10 or 11 cities, sets up churches in those 10 or 11 cities in Acts 13 and 14. And then he writes in Acts 16, he writes back to them. It's called the book of Galatians. So if you'll turn to Galatians, right after Corinthians there and before Ephesians, Galatians chapter 1. So now, you know, we talked a minute ago about some of the last things that Paul wrote. Ephesians chapter 6, the last chapter Paul wrote to a church. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last chapter that Paul wrote to a teacher, to a preacher, to anybody that has a ministry. And I hope we all agree, we all have some type of ministry, whether it's just to our family, whether it's to the youth, whether it's in front of a group. So the first book that Paul penned that becomes Scripture, the book of Galatians. And watch how he starts this book even. So after the introduction, verse 6, very first book Paul writes, and he's writing back to those 10 or 11 churches that he just established in his first missionary journey. In verse 6 he says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." First subject right out of the chute Paul's going to talk about. People leaving the grace of Christ, using the phrases here, and going to another gospel. Well, there must be more than one gospel then, if you can go to another gospel. Verse 7, "which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." And boy, can men do that. Pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, how do you pervert something? You add something to it. You subtract something from it. You change something in there. You're perverting whatever that is. How do you pervert the gospel of Christ? Let's add something to it. It's the gospel of Christ and works. It's the gospel of Christ and water baptism. It's the gospel of Christ and speaking in tongues. It's the gospel of Christ and. No, it's right there. And I'd encourage everybody in your Bible, take out a red pen, a yellow highlighter, and those three words that make it explain the why, the mystery part of it, versus the prophetic part of it. And it's those three words, "for our sins" on line 4. That being the key to our salvation. First subject, verse 8. How important is this? Warning people about perverting the gospel of Christ, verse 8. Tells you how serious he is. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you," go to Acts 13 and you'll see the first time you have an accounting of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Paul preaches everything Peter would have preached, the gospel of God. But then he adds, is it verse 38, 39? He adds the gospel of Christ to it. Let me tell you about that man who became both Lord and Christ. He died for our sins. The mystery part of it, the difference of what Paul preached and what Peter preached. But though we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I'd say Paul was pretty serious about what he's saying here. Let that man that adds any one of those things to it be accursed. Yes, he meant that. And in case we missed it, verse 9 says, "As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Now he said it twice. Once again, if anybody's arguing with you about this, just remember, Steve didn't say this. The Bible says this. You always come back to the Bible. It doesn't matter what Steve says. It doesn't matter what that Steve says. It doesn't matter what Jerry Sanders says. It doesn't matter what Brother Jerry Lockhart says. It doesn't matter what Brother E.C. Moore said. What saith the Scripture? Always come back to the Scripture. That's why I remember Brother Jerry 40-some years ago. It was always, he'd get the verse, he'd turn around, and he'd say, "Read that verse." when you have the person read it themselves, now they're not just hearing it, they're saying it themselves, they're seeing it with their own eyes. It's what saith the Scripture. So that's something interesting that Paul does here in the very first subject that he talks about. Well, let's just continue right there in the same book. Now, I'm going to skip one verse, chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren. Whoa, certify. Anybody here ever have a J-O-B thing where they had to get certification? To get certified to do a certain task, you had to go through a lot of training. I mean, it's pretty serious when you get certified to do something. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It wasn't a man. You mean Peter didn't teach him this gospel? Your Bible says he received it neither of man. He neither was taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Of course, we know that's Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, right? But these are the things Peter comes right out of the chute. Peter, golly, too much coffee. Maybe not enough. He comes right out of the chute, first book that he penned that becomes Scripture, you know, in time. Okay, of course, Romans is the first one that shows up in your Bible. But in time, Acts 16, when he writes this, these are the things he's saying right out of the chute. Well, let's see if there's some other things here that maybe he talks about. Let's come to chapter 2, verse 7. Of course, chapter 2, this would be Paul's accounting of Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, when Paul goes up to Jerusalem and he meets with Peter and the 12. And the whole interchange there, but he's telling them his gospel. He's explained to him the gospel that he's preaching among the Greeks. The Jews and the Greeks. Hey, everywhere Paul goes, you know, Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. Who's them? 17:1. This sin. Keep your hand here. I always see it in the Scriptures, right? Acts 17. This is how Paul conducted his ministry during the book of Acts. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. And when they, that's Paul and his contingent, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. There's even a book written to them, maybe two books written to them. Where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. And three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. On and on he goes. That's Paul's M.O. during the book of Acts. Acts 16, Acts 13 to Acts 20. Every city he goes to the synagogue first. Who's in the synagogue? Jews and the Greeks. Jews and the proselytes, as we call them, or as your Bible calls them. Those Gentiles that understood the only way they could gain favor with the Lord God Almighty was to be in the synagogue, aligning themselves with the Jews. Okay, and that's what Paul did throughout. So, now back to Galatians. We're talking about Acts 15. He goes up to get this worked out with Peter and the 12. They do. James, you see the transition of power from Peter to James within the 12 apostles. So now Paul is writing about that time period. And verse 7, Paul says, but contrariwise, when they, and that would be the 12 here, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Whoa! Once again, two gospels. How can you say there's only one gospel throughout the Bible? No, there are many gospels throughout your Bible. I think some of you have even put out some publications. There may be 10, there may be 11, there may be more. It doesn't matter how many there are. There's at least two. One is committed unto, there's two, and they're both different right here in this verse 7. One is committed unto Peter, one is committed unto Paul. That's good enough right there for all practical purposes. That assumes you have a King James Bible.
Because what do all the other perversions of the Word of God do with that one verse right there? You wonder why people are confused. Satan, our adversary, is pretty darn smart. And boy, did he attack this book right here. Because verse 7, in all other perversions of the Word, say but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel too the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel to the circumcision was unto Peter. Whoa. With one two-letter word, we just eliminated one gospel, didn't we? We went from two gospels to one gospel. It's the two-letter words that we really need to fear the most. The changes of. And that's just one. Where Brother Jerry helped me while we're in chapter 2 here, where I finally threw out the trash that I was carrying 40-some years ago and picked up the King James, was verse 16. Here's another two-letter word change. I'm in Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith, underline that next word, of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified, as Brother Jan taught us so well, by the faith of Christ. And underline that word of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Once again, if you have any other perversion of the Word of God other than the King James Version, you have two changes in this verse. And it would say, but by the faith, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, would you rather be justified by the faith of Christ or by your own faith? And actually, it doesn't matter what you want. It's what saith the Scripture, and the Scripture says you're justified by the faith of Christ. Praise God for that. Romans chapter 3 would do the same thing. Change faith of Christ to faith in Christ. We wonder why there's so much confusion out there. Now, this is the first book that Paul penned that became Scripture. And you see what he started about the attacks on the gospel itself. And he certified that he got his gospel. You know, he calls it my gospel. And he got it from direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we see that. That's his first subject he comes out with. Now let's go to Romans chapter 1, the first book that shows up in your Bible, written by the Apostle Paul, wrote it, Acts chapter 20, one of the last two books he wrote during his Acts ministry. Romans chapter 1. If you were to do a word study, I encourage you, I use the Bible program esword.net, Brother Jerry Lockhart, e-sword.net. Brother Jerry Lockhart told me about that in 1999 or 2000, one of those years. Yeah, okay. But you can do great word studies. You can get all the other, you have the only version of the Bible, but you can have all the other perversions to compare against too very easily. Do a word study. Gospel of Christ. The gospel of your salvation. The gospel of our salvation. Gospel of Christ. Would you believe that term that is so important because it is the gospel of our salvation, but it shows up zero times back here in Genesis through Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel of salvation. Surely it's all over there in the red letters. No, it's there zero times. How about Hebrews through Revelation? You guessed it. It's there zero times. Now, if you have a true Bible, you'll see it 11 times in Romans through Philemon. You will be missing it one other time, And it's going to be right here. It just happens to be the very first time it shows up. Is the word chronologically in your Bible? Romans chapter 1, we'll start in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Stop reading for a second. I always encourage good Bible students, whenever you see the term the gospel, you should ask yourself, which gospel? Because there are many gospels. Go to context. You've got to get it from the context of the verses. Don't worry, verse 16 will give you which gospel to which he's referring. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There you go. It's the gospel of Christ that he's talking about. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's the gospel of Christ, assuming you have a King James Bible. Every other perversion, and I do mean every, leaves that phrase of Christ out of that verse. And you wonder why there's confusion out there today. It's deliberate. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We have a pretty serious adversary out there. It is spiritual warfare. We all do need to put on the whole armor of God of Ephesians 6 because of that warfare. But make no mistake, this tool, this is the offensive tool that you have, the only offensive tool that you have, the sword of the Spirit. We need to take that. The two main mysteries there, the mystery of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It was a mystery that he would die for our sins. The mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3, the mystery of the gospel is that simple way to salvation, that simple gospel of Christ, and the mystery behind it, the mystery of the gospel, that gospel could be taken to people like us in this room. How many of you have ever been in a synagogue? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hands maybe in a whole room just for the camera up here. So of the 712 people in the room right now, typical of a Grace Conference, but only 5 hands go up. Actually, that's as many hands as ever, I think, have gone up. I've never been in a synagogue. Point is, we didn't have to go to a synagogue to hear the gospel of Christ preached, did we? We're just far hence Gentiles, not worth the gunpowder it take to blow us into hell. But yet, that gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, took our sins to hell, spent 3 days in hell for you, for me, for all of us. But on the third day, God the Father raised him for our justification, so that we can now have that atonement. We are now justified. One last verse, sorry. 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. And verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, as you saw in Romans 1:16, the power of God. Once again, only if you have a King James Bible, because all other perversions would say, because the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are being saved, it is the power of God. No, there is no one in existence that has ever been being saved. You either is or you ain't. But once again, the other perversions put that in there. It's a process. Doesn't that infer works? And you wonder why people are confused. No, it's a mystery that Christ would die for the sins of the world. Why? Because the princes of this world would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And that's the mystery of Christ. The mystery of the gospel, you get to hear it too. And all we have to do now is receive it. Because there's no being saved. You either is or you ain't. when, not when did you get saved, when did you get lost? Last word, 30-second phrase. I love coming here because the night I got saved, that man was one of the three preachers that night, and I love the fact that that man coming here, Brother Steve Atwood is who I'm referring to, for the, and Brother Jerry Lockhart, I mean, the men that share the gospel when for you to be saved, just there's no more precious love that you have for another man. Anyway, thank you for the opportunity to be here.